A new book of poetry focuses on the life and death of civil rights leader Medgar Evers through a series of imagined monologues. Evers was the first NAACP field secretary in Mississippi. He organized boycotts to end segregation and helped integrate the University of Mississippi. But he was gunned down in his driveway by white supremacist Byron De La Beckwith in 1963. A new book called Turn Me Loose, The Unghosting of Medgar Evers, recreates the voices of those closest to Evers, his wife and his brother, and also his killer. Author Frank X. Walker joins us now. He's the current Poet Laureate of Kentucky and an Associate Professor of English at the University of Kentucky. Frank, thanks so much for being with me.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Perhaps the best way to describe your motivation for writing the book is to have you read the very first poem.
Sure. It's called What Kills Me, and it's in the imagined voice of Merle Evers, his widow. When people talk about the movement as if it started in 64, it erases every body who vanished on the way home from work or school and is still listed as missing. It erases the pile of recovered bodies, some burnt, shot, dismembered, some beaten just beyond recognition. It mutes every unsung voice in Mississippi that dared to speak up, fully understanding the consequences. When people talk about the movement as if it started in 64, it erases his entire life's work. It means he lived and died for nothing. And that's worse than killing him again.
In this book, you are imagining the voices of, as we mentioned, Medgar Evers' widow, his killer, the killer's wife and former wife. What was the most difficult voice for you to wrap your head around?
Oh, easily it was Byron De La Beckwith's voice and sentiment. You know, it's hard to imagine or even put the try on the skin of somebody who hated everything that I am.
Were you tempted or did you intend to create a voice that made him contemptible, or did, because I found that there was some empathy there in not empathy for what he did or who he was, but as a human being.
Well, it was really important to me to make sure that he didn't come across as one-dimensional, that I really wanted him to be human. I wanted him to be so human that other people could, you know, find out how far away or how close they were to him, and to really present both sides of this story in a way that, you know, people who didn't know the story really understood it on an emotional level, not just the details of the events, but, you know, maybe the psychological and emotional backdrop that precipitated all the events that led up to the assassination and that kind of anger and violence that was part of the civil rights era.
I found it very interesting that you included the voices of his wives. Was the purpose of that to fill out the character of De La Beckwith?
Using the wives did two things. It allowed me to have wives on both sides of the coin, Merle Evers as a voice of good, and the other two wives who were also loyal to their husband but represented this other side of the equation. And I really felt like that the wives helped both men seem more whole, and it gave some objectivity that, you know, the only reason you don't hear from Megger himself in the entire collection is that everybody is speaking about Megger indirectly, and the sum of their voices and opinions really give you the whole story, and I think give you a more accurate depiction of who he was and who all the men were just by listening to what everybody else had to say about them collectively.
So you were recreating these voices based on, I assume, readings or watching news footage.
A lot of research. The more research you can do, the easier it is to try on that skin that you don't know, especially if it was somebody who lived in a different time period or who looked and behaved differently than you do.
I wanted to talk about music at this point. You mention music and song titles in a lot of the poetry, and in a certain way it helps to recreate the scene of the time. And there was a special on your book, done by the University of Kentucky's public radio station, WUKY. And they included a lot of music from the time period, Ray Charles, Smokey Robinson, Nina Simone. But there was this one that surprised some of us, and take a listen.
Well, I'm sometimes up and I'm sometimes down, coming for to carry me home. But I know my soul is heavenly bound, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
I would imagine, Frank, that if people were to put together a playlist of songs inspired by Medgar Evers, they would not include Johnny Cash.
Well, I think so, but I think if the playlist was about everybody in the story, including Dale Beckwith, they would have to put Johnny Cash in. You know, I can't imagine Dale Beckwith sitting and listening to Ray Charles in as loving a way as he might have embraced Johnny Cash. I think that Johnny Cash clearly represented a different side of the community. And he was also considered a rebel. And I think that he would have looked at Johnny in a way that, the same way that, you know, when we pick our musical heroes, that it's almost like creating your own theme music.
Right, although we should be clear, Johnny Cash, I'm sure, in no way would want to be associated with Byron Dale Beckwith. That admiration only went one way.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it's been 50 years since Medgar Evers' assassination. This is an event in history that has been written about quite a bit. What were you hoping, what new piece of information or understanding were you hoping to bring?
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't trying to do anything new. I really was trying to erase something that I had encountered in my classrooms. Almost none of my students knew who Medgar Evers was. And I was shocked by that. And when I polled them about assassinations from the time period, you know, they could all recall at least hearing about Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and at least one Kennedy, but they never heard of Fred Hampton, never heard of
Emmett Till.
I don't think they think of Emmett Till as a political assassination. And a lot of them also did not know the Emmett Till story until Trayvon Martin. And it was only putting the two together could they really understand that even Trayvon was not a brand new situation, but it allowed them to understand this kind of repetitive event that's been happening in American history that has violence at the core of it.
And for all those people out there who maybe also don't know who Medgar Evers is, maybe you could explain the title of the book. It's called Turn Me Loose. Why is it called that?
Turn Me Loose was actually the last phrase or set of words that Medgar uttered. He sat up on the hospital bed and said, turn me loose, and then collapsed, and that was it for him. And I already made a decision that I would not have him speak through a poem in this collection, but I wanted him to still be present. And that was, for me, a nice frame to put his voice into and to let it drive the story and the narrative.
Maybe you wouldn't mind, as we close our interview out, leaving us with another poem. And let me leave the choice up to you. If we're going to walk away from this conversation with a poem, what would you read for us?
Well, I'll read the poem that's a surprise to people because it's in the voice of the bullet, supposedly objective, called One Third of 180 Grams of Lead. Both of them were history, even before one pulled the trigger. Before I rocketed through the smoking barrel hidden in the honeysuckle, before I tore through a man's back, shattered his family, a window, and tore through an inner wall, before I bounced off a refrigerator and a coffee pot, before I landed at my destined point in history, next to a watermelon. What was cruel was the irony, not the melon, not the man falling in slow motion, but the man squinting through the crosshairs, reducing the justice system to a small circle, praying that he not miss, then sending me to deliver a message, as if the woman screaming in the dark or the children crying at her feet could ever believe a bullet was small enough to hate.
The book is called Turn Me Loose, The Unghosting of Medgar Evers, written by Frank X. Walker, poet and professor. He joined us from member station WUKY in Lexington, Kentucky. Frank, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just ahead, artist Faith Ringgold painted about the civil rights struggle in the 1960s. And over the past several decades, she's told the story in all sorts of different ways. So what can audiences learn from her art that they don't already know?
The struggle was one thing when you talk about it, another thing when you picture it.
The unique and always surprising vision of Faith Ringgold, coming up on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Celeste Headlee.